All right. Hi, everybody. Welcome back. It is RCFB Talk 47. My name's Bobby Kyrie, and we're going to have a very special guest this afternoon. UTSA Roadrunners head coach Jeff Traylor will be joining us in just a couple of minutes.
Yes, I am super excited about today's conversation. We're going to have Coach Traylor joining here in just a moment. But this has been a huge time for the University of Texas at San Antonio. Last year, best season ever, first ever conference championship, predicted in the media preseason polls today to repeat that with CUSA going into this season, but a 12-2 season, first time in the AP top 25 at any point in the short history of the Roadrunners. We got onto this bandwagon very quickly, and we are super excited to have Jeff Traylor, which I did see. He just popped in. Bob Atkins, you go ahead and get him set up. If you know anything about Texas football, you know Jeff Traylor from his legendary run as the head coach at Gilmer High School. He has the stadium named after him, and well deserved after three state titles, five championship game appearances, several district rounds. But now he's become one of the up and coming head coaches in college football. He's now the head man at UTSA. As we previously mentioned, just came off one of the best seasons in the history of UTSA's short history. And we're super excited to talk to him today, just as soon as we bring him on up here.
It looks like UTSA football, looks like we got you up here to speak. Can you hear us?
Anybody hear me?
Yes, oh, sir. Welcome, welcome.
Glad to be here. Sorry for the technical difficulty.
Hey, it is all good.
We had that happen once with the Senior Bowl, and the Senior Bowl's executive director had to just use their main account. So it happens.
For some reason, my account wouldn't work, but we got the UTSA football account up and running, so we're good to go.
Excellent, excellent. Well, welcome, Coach.
Thank y'all for having me.
Coach, obviously you've come off of a huge year at UTSA, and I would love to hear a little bit more about what you've been tweeting in promoting this conversation, your 2-10 triangle of toughness. I know that's a philosophy that you hold near and dear with your program, but what specifically is that 2-10 triangle of toughness philosophy?
Well, on my very first press conference, December 9th, 2019, when President Amy and Dr. Campos introduced me, that was the very first thing we stressed, was the 2-1-0 was where we were going to target. We were going to start recruiting in the city of San Antonio, work our way out. We've fulfilled that. You know, we had about 10 or 11 on the roster at the time, and we're anywhere from 30 to 40 at different times on our roster right now after two complete seasons. But it's gone further than that. You know, our triangle of toughness culture is just something that we believe in and live by every day. And the kids that best exemplify those culture pillars, we vote for those kids and those numbers. So all of our single-digit guys are voted on by their players, by their peers. And the ones that get the most of those votes out of the single digits, the 2, the 1, and the 0, they're the ones that best, you know, are the examples of our culture. And like, for example, Rashad Wisdom wears 0 out of Converse Judson right here in the city. You know, and Frank Harris wears 0 on the offensive side. He's out of Shirts Clemens right here out of the city. And not two better people to represent what our culture is about than those two guys. They're both homegrown.
Coach, you have an exceptional background in recruiting. You've been known for that as soon as you decided to join the college ranks of coaching. How has recruiting Texas high school athletes changed over the years, and obviously national athletes too, because you've obviously been touted as a recruiter, a conference recruiter of the year in the Big 12. What, I mean, there's a lot that's happened with the portal and with NIL. What's that been like for you in recruiting athletes to come play for you?
Well, on one hand, things have changed drastically because of the transfer portal and the NIL aspect. On the other hand, it's still about relationships. If kids know you really love them, and you can make them better, they'll come play for you. We all want to be loved. We all want to be appreciated, but we all want to be as good as we can possibly be. And, you know, I've been in this state of the 32 years of coaching. I've coached in the state 30 of those 32 years. So there's a pretty good track record for players to go back and just find out what we've been about in our careers, and loving kids and developing them to their fullest potential is a pretty successful track record we have with a lot of dads, you know, now I've coached their dads that can speak about their kids, which might be an indication of how old I'm getting right now. But that's a lot of a track record of trust. And we all know what trust is. Trust is truth over time.
I know that you say that when you have trust with the parents, especially the dads, in trying to get these guys recruited in, I'm a little curious to know what you might have outside of just those relationships as well. I know that in a market like San Antonio, you can offer a bunch of different things just in its culture, the businesses that are there, the opportunity to market a brand, and of course, the feeling that you're in a good, safe environment as well. Can you elaborate a little bit more on the importance of San Antonio when it comes to your recruiting pitch?
Yeah, it's the most, I think it's our greatest selling point. You know, people know us, you know, for the Riverwalk and the Alamo Dome. We play in one of the most beautiful facilities in the country. It's 72 degrees every single Saturday. The wind never blows. There's never rain. There's never any cold in there. That's a great selling point. Obviously downtown's beautiful and everybody loves that. We're, some say the seventh largest city in the country. Some say the fifth largest city in the country. Multi-ethnic background, just tons of people that really love the Roadrunners. You know, we've only been playing ball for 10 years now. We're a new program. We're an upstart program. We have a great university. We just built a new $45 million facility. It's as good as anybody's in the country that our kids work out in. So there's a lot to sell here, and we're very proud of it. In that Alamo Dome, we played 13 games in it now, and we're 12-1 in the Alamo Dome. So it's our fans are just fantastic. We had over 45,000 in the conference championship game against Western Kentucky, and they've just been so supportive since the day we've gotten here.
Coach, you mentioned facilities. What advantages does a facility like the new Roadrunner Athletic Center for Excellence bring to a football program like UTSA?
Well, kids buy with their eyes, unfortunately. So if you don't have the stuff they like to see, from the jersey to the helmet, to the locker room, to the weight room, they're just not going to be very interested in you anymore. So we've got a great facility. It's state-of-the-art. I mean, from the team room to the workout room to our training room. We're also in the UT Health Center, so we have as good of, you know, training staff as there is in the country to take care of these kids. And you have a turf field. We have a practice field. It's grass as well. Just a beautiful scenery. There's nothing like the hill country. My wife and I have lived in lots of Texas, and we're very fond of the hill country, and our recruits are as well, and we're very proud of what we have to sell. And obviously, you know, with our recruiting class we've had the last 3 years, they've bought into us as well.
Coach, you had significant interest from a lot of programs, some at the P5 level, mostly at the P5 level, but chose to stay at UTSA on a new 10-year extension. What were your motivations to do that?
Well, it's just kind of my nature. I like to build. You know, we were at Gilmer for 15 years, and, you know, we were told we were going to leave there almost every year, and we stayed there. And that place is really, you know, it's built to last. I mean, my former assistants are now head coaches and coordinators. My former players are now the assistants, and they're saving a lot of kids in Gilmer, Texas. And we'd like to leave this one the exact same way. We want this thing to be one of those kind of places when we decide to leave it that it's just made to last. It's built to last. And our president, our boosters, and my athletic director for a 10-year contract, and the improvements we made with our assistant coaches, you know, our nutrition center, our off-the-field spots that we created. We did a lot of things for our kids as far as equipment. And just it's just they made a huge commitment to me. And I just didn't feel very comfortable at the time. You know, when some of that talk started, we were 8-0. When some more talk came around, we were 10-0. And I just felt terrible leaving those kids. It just didn't seem right to walk in that locker room. And Frank and Rashad came to me and said, you know, we lost too much. And we lost our last coach. And we don't want to lose our new coach because we won too much. And I thought, you know, that tugged at my heart. And Carrie and I both love it here. The city has been nothing but great to us. They treat us like family. And we really want to do something here that this city will be proud of forever.
Coach, I know you have a fascinating ties to the Texas Football Coaching Network overall. I know we had our reporter Allison was at Southland Conference Media Days actually last week, and She remembers that the new Incarnate Word head coach, G.J. Kinney, said he's excited to be coaching in San Antonio alongside you. You both go back quite a ways. I know he was a graduate assistant at SMU and at Arkansas while you were there. Could you talk a little bit about that relationship?
Yeah, he was also my high school quarterback at Gilmer. So I've known G.J. for a long, long time. We were together at SMU and Arkansas. He's almost like a son to me. Very proud of him. He loves players. He's great with kids. He has a great offensive mind. You know, obviously he's gone off and worked for some other people that have influenced him as well. But, you know, I always keep my eye on G.J., and I'm here to help him if there's any way I possibly can. And love him and proud of him and glad that he's in San Antonio.
Coach, and related to that, when you were talking about your guys who are formerly your players now becoming coaches, their assistants, they're growing, doing their own families. I was really, really intrigued with some of the comments that you had given at the Frisco Bowl, specifically about Sincere McCormick. The question was asked about, you know, he's sitting out this bowl. What's the attitude in the locker room? And you had responded in a super refreshing answer saying that it's your job as a coach to help make NFL dreams come true. It's clear that you're very invested in your guys, but I'm also very curious to hear more about, you know, you've talked about your role in growing guys, whether that's in the NFL, into coaching, into being better men. I would love to hear a little bit more about that thinking and how you apply that in your coaching philosophy.
Yeah, well, we caught a little bit of heat for letting him and Tariq, you know, be on our sideline. People didn't think that was the right thing to do. We heard comments like they were betraying the team, they weren't being loyal. We just didn't see it that way. Those kids have one opportunity, and they felt like it was a bigger risk to play than it was not to play. And we wouldn't have been in that bowl game without them. And maybe if they had not been the kind of kids they were, I wouldn't have gone along with that. But those kids wanted to be there to support their team. I mean, most guys that opt out of the bowl game, they don't want to be with their team. They want to go be training somewhere. Our guys wanted to be there. So if I'm going to be true to who I say I am, and my objective is to make grown men out of young men, well, kicking him to the curb in a moment where he needed me to be there, I just didn't think was the right thing to do. So I supported them in their decision. We also had a kid named Spencer Burford that decided to play. He got drafted in the fourth round. He's with the 49ers right now. So I'm going to do my best to do what's best for them. And if not, I thought I'd be very hypocritical that if I just didn't let them go with us. And I stand by that. When my record's done, we've been very blessed. We've won a whole bunch of ball games in our 18-year together as a coaching staff. And my real record's how many men out of how many boys. And when the Lord chooses to take me home, if any of those, I've been a head coach for 18 years now. It's about over 500 players now. If 500 of them come to my funeral and they are giving back to their state, giving back to their church, giving back to their families, you know, they're men, but they're still taken, and they're not taking care of anybody. They're boys. And so they'll go in my loss record, and the men will go in my win record. So I feel strongly about that. The coaching's a calling, and the football is nothing but a carrot used to help men become men. And Lord knows what a knucklehead I was at that age. And thank God for coaches and football and basketball. I don't know where I'd be right now.
Just a really refreshing and very candid take to hear from a coach, Coach Traylor, you know, focusing on what's really important, you know, put aside what actually the win-loss record on the field, you know, developing players and helping them fulfill their potential. Really, really refreshing to hear. But to speak a little bit about that win-loss record on the field, you mentioned that you had a lot of success last year, most successful season in UTSA history. How do you follow that up knowing that you've now created the standard of excellence that you have to maintain instead of, you know, that's what you're trying to achieve? It's a little bit of a shift in terms of your goals.
You know, I was at the rodeo and here in San Antonio, and for some reason I just got in my mind, you know, about those bulls when you're trying to ride a bull. And then I read about Tuff Hedeman, who had been a 3-time bull champion. And when he was getting on that bull, Bodacious really messed him up. You know, he broke his face and broke his ribs and lungs. And they asked Tuff about it. And Tuff was like, you know, the bull don't care. It doesn't matter you rode him last week. The bull don't care. So we've kind of chosen that to be our motto this year. It's what we're going to be, you know, hashtagging all year long. The Bull don't care. And nobody really cares. I mean, yeah, we're the conference champions and we're picked to win it again this year, but nobody really cares. That Bull didn't care when Tough got back on it. You know, Bodacious went to, you know, kicking his tail. And if we get to reading about our press clippings and think we've done something, you know, I'm sure UAB and we'll love to show up in Western Kentucky and kick our tails next year. So that's going to be our mindset. Nobody cares. And are we built to last? Or are we just a flash in the pan? And we're going to find out about ourselves this year. We've got an incredibly tough schedule. You know, we have Houston in about 40 days, then Army, and then Texas. So there's nothing like jumping out there playing arguably three top 25 teams in the first three ball games.
Well, and Coach, you know, after a season like last year, you have to think that going into this year, a lot of teams are going to be looking at you, you know, as either a warm-up for a conference championship game or a preview towards it, or a chance to, you know, basically kind of, like we hear some coaches say, be a bowl game for some other program, and they're going to throw their absolute best at you. Is that something that you're preparing your guys for, that every single week is going to be a bit of a dogfight because everybody's going to come in knowing that they've got a chance to take down one of the hottest teams in the country from last year?
I think last year helped us for that. You know, going on that 11-game win streak, you know, it was pretty – easy for us to be targeted each week. So our guys got used to, you know, getting their people's very best. I mean, Southern Mississippi had not had a very good record all year long. And I believe the score was tied up maybe, you know, right near the fourth quarter. So we understand what that's like, and that was good for us. But it'll be interesting to see if this new group can handle that, because we've got, you know, we lost about six really good players off of our defense. Four of those guys are in the NFL right now. We lost a kicker. It's in the NFL right now. We lost the left tackle and a running back is in the NFL right now. So we lost some really important pieces, but we worked our tails off to develop our young talent and recruit some more talent in here. And it'll be interesting to see how we all mesh as a football team.
Coach, I know the momentum is riding high as you're starting to get ready for fall camp. And, you know, at the arrival fall camp, I'm a Texan, and it's always a tradition to get that Dave Campbell Texas football magazine in my mailbox. And I know you're on the cover this year with Joey McGuire, the new head guy at Texas Tech. What's been the response so far of getting that coveted cover?
You know, I'll be honest. When you grow up in Texas, I still remember in 1984 – getting my Dave Campbell magazine, trying to see my name in it. And they didn't put my name in there as a player, and I wasn't good enough to be in there to begin with, so it wasn't their fault, it was my fault. But my senior year, I remember my name making it in the article. And, boy, I really thought I had arrived, right? So when you're from Texas, I mean, if you can just get your name in the thing, you feel very special. It's that important to us and our culture in this state. But to be on the front of that thing to represent 1,400 Texas high schools, you know, if you look behind that picture, it says 1,400 Texas high schools reported in this magazine. And Joey and I both feel that pressure of knowing that when we go out there, we're a reflection of the THSCA. And I struggled whether to wear that THSCA cap the night we played San Diego State. We were missing about 25 players that night for COVID and for, you know, NFL guys opting out. So I knew we were a shell of our team, and I didn't want to embarrass the THSCA. But at the same time, I committed to wearing that cap for my buddies. And we showed up and played a really great game against a great San Diego State team, but we fell short. But I wasn't embarrassed at all because our kids played extremely hard, and we represented what the THSCA is about. So my dad's not in great health right now, but I can promise you as soon as he sees that magazine and sees his old boy on the cover of that thing, it'll put a smile on his face. And it's pretty special, and I won't admit, I've got one magazine in my office right now. Recruits look at it, but occasionally when I walk by it, I'm like, goodness gracious, can you believe a boy from Gilmer, Texas is on the cover of the Texas Football Bible? That's pretty cool.
Love it.
Well, first, I just want to say we wish your father well. I know what it's like to go through that. So I just wanted to say that before I even went to the next question.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it. That's tough. That's one of those phases of life we all got to go through. But I feel bad for my mom. You know, she's the one having to deal with the most. But it's still tough when you see your dad like that.
Yeah. But you mentioned the THSCA. So for those who are unfamiliar with Texas, that's the Texas High School Coaches Association. And I actually was going to ask you, because, I mean, you coached high school football in Texas for 25 years, and you're known for your heavy involvement with the THSCA's annual convention. How important has that been to your coaching identity?
It's just who I am, you know, and I probably took advantage of that, to be honest with you. And I, as a Texas high school coach, I didn't realize how, I mean, I knew it was great, but I didn't know how great it was until Coach Strong hired me at the University of Texas and I started traveling the country. And, you know, when I was traveling the country, I got to see other states. They play great football now. They've got great athletes in Georgia, Alabama, Louisiana, Florida. I'm not going to California. But the organization is just not set up like our organization is. It's just so organized from top to bottom. I mean, Joe Martin and Glenn West do a fantastic job. You know, Lee Wigginton, who's our current president, Kendall Miller, who just got elected, John King just went out. All those guys are just such great leaders. We this year, we hosted it here in San Antonio. There were 16,000 of those guys down here, you know, on the Riverwalk. And I bet they had me speak, you know, 5 to 6 times. We had a social at Pinkerton's Barbecue where probably 800 to 1,000 of our high school coaches' buddies came, and we had some sweet tea and ribs and just talked ball. And it's just – it's been awesome. And the AFCA happened to be here this year in San Antonio as well. So I got to be with all the, our college buddies as well during that time. So it's something we take a lot of great pride in. But they, from the very first time you become a coach in Texas, they just teach you what the game's really about. It's not just about the winning and the losing. It's so much more. It just it wouldn't be this important to our culture if so many grandfathers and great-grandfathers didn't learn the game of life by playing the game of football here in the great state of Texas.
You know, you've mentioned the lessons that you learned from your fathers and grandfathers. And I'm curious, you know, you mentioned your dad, and you grew up on a 100-acre farm out in Gilmer, out in Texas. What kind of lessons did that type of upbringing, especially in those lessons from your dad, your granddad, teach you on the way that you apply your coaching philosophy and what you know about football as a sport?
Yeah, my dad's dad actually died on a farm. You know, cutting firewood, and they found him out there. I had a heart attack, so I didn't know him. I was 9 months old when my granddaddy Buck passed away. My mom's grandfather, you know, owned a full service gas station, and I can remember, you know, putting gas in and just, you know, running, washing the windshields and just doing jobs. I didn't even know it was work. Now my dad, when he started his farm up, we'd throw newspapers 4:30 in the morning, then feed all the animals, and then go to school, then go to football practice, come back home, feed the animals, go to bed, rinse, repeat, new day. But one of the best days of my life, I have two brothers, when I heard my mom tell my father that she was tired of us just being free help. It was time for him to go hire some help because she was tired of us going to school smelling like dogs and horses and cows. So that was a good day for us. I don't know if my dad got more help. He probably just got rid of a few animals. But it did ease our workload a little bit. So, you know, we just grew up that way. And, you know, I think it taught us work ethic, some honor, some values, some old school, you know, hardcore life lessons that maybe we don't get so much other than the game of football nowadays.
Coach, you moved up from the high school ranks to being a college head coach pretty fast. And we know that some coaches have struggled with making that transition. Was there anything that you think really prepared you to make the jump from high school head coach to college head coach? Because there are some differences there. And do you have any advice for high school coaches that are wanting to move into college sports?
Yeah, you know, getting to watch Todd Dodge was huge for me. I was close with Todd. So watching him go to North Texas, I think I learned by kind of watching him that the transition there was stuff for me to learn. The hardest part is you've been given, you know, you've been the boss, you know, for all these years, and you make decisions. When you become an assistant coach, you don't make decisions anymore. You make suggestions. So when you become a tight end coach or a running back coach or a receiver coach, or you're the associate head coach now, you're still just making a bunch of suggestions. And I think that 5 years, you know, two for working for, you know, Charlie, and three for working for Chad, you know, helped prepare me. But the biggest, you know, also watching Todd Dodge and watching how he went to North Texas and some things he did and talking to him along the way. And I would also say you're going to have to swallow your ego. I mean, it's you got to let it go. I mean, you got to let that ego go. And I tried to be the very best assistant I could for Charlie and Chad. And, it's just hard. And it's so hard to get in it because, you know, I had five guys working for free my very first year because it's so competitive. We have hired, we've got like 10 Texas high school coaches on our staff right now. So we're very committed to promoting those guys. But get in where you can fit in. And if you want to get in college football, it's very rare you're going to get hired to be a head coach right out of high school or a coordinator. You're probably going to have to start at a position you really don't want to. But how far backwards are you willing to go forwards? And I know it looks like I went to the University of Texas, so it was all moving forwards. But when you had to leave your family behind and basically take a pay cut because of how good Gilmer paid me and my wife, you got to go backwards sometimes before you can go forwards.
You're known for being relatively loose and relaxed on game day. What guides you there?
My confidence in my players and my coaching staff. We work extremely hard during the week. And what you see on the sidelines on Saturday is not what my players see Sunday through Friday. We're very intense around here at all times. But, man, when we get to the game, I've just made my mind up. I'm going to be their biggest fan. I'm not going to embarrass them on TV. They're a reflection of me. How they play is on me. If they play well, I'm loving it. And if they don't, that's on me. And we've been committed to doing that. I wasn't a great example of that earlier in my career. But I can promise you, the version UTSA got of me is a way better version than the version Gilmer got of me back in the day when I first started at the age of 30 or 31, whatever that was.
Coach, I know we've only got a couple more minutes with you, and we're going to be starting to wrap up here in just a moment. But, you know, as a Texan, I've been hearing all the time for years and years and years that San Antonio has been starved for football and some kind of program to root for. UTSA is clearly filling in that gap right now, but what's been the response from San Antonio at large to the success of the Roadrunners so far under your tenure?
Well, I'm known for never taking my cap off, and some people say it's because – actually, Joey McGuire is the one that tells everybody because I'm trying to hide my bald head, but and that might be partially true. But the real reason I want everybody to know what this Birds Up means, what the Roadrunners are about, we've got a heck of a mascot. I mean, it's really cool. And I would say when I got here, you know, some of the city was asking me if I was the head coach of the Ravens. They didn't know what we were. But, you know, going on year three, the Roadrunners are rocking in the city of San Antonio. Everywhere we go, there's caps. There's signs, there's pictures, airport the other day, they're selling tickets. There's just our logos everywhere right now. It's exciting. It's so fun to be a part of something new and fresh. And our fan base is just so loyal. They're very much a reflection of our city. It's a family. It's a culture. And they're proud of UTSA. And I am too. I'm extremely proud to be the head coach. And it's a blessing to drive up to this beautiful facility every day in one of the greatest cities in the country.
Thank you, Coach. I think you're absolutely right. Thanks to especially these last several years, everyone knows who UTSA is and that they're the Roadrunners, especially as we see, you know, meet all over the internet whenever they're doing successful. But thank you, Coach Traylor. It was a pleasure to speak with you this afternoon.
Man, appreciate what y'all do. You've got a great, great deal y'all got going, a lot of followers, and appreciate what you do for college football. It's a great game. And I hear a lot of people worried about it. The game's going to be just fine. We've got great players. We've got a bunch of great coaches. We've got a great media covering it. We're going to all be fine. We just got to figure out where it is right now. And I trust there's enough smart people that care about the game that we'll get this thing figured out and we'll keep heading in the right direction. Thank y'all. God bless and Birds up.
Birds up. Thank you. And thanks to all of you out there for listening. This was RCFB Talk 47. We had a special guest, UTSA head coach Jeff Traylor. But that's all we really have for you today. Thanks so much for joining us. Feel free to join us tomorrow night at 10 with Nicole Arbuck. We appreciate hearing from all of you, having you join us. We appreciate Coach Traylor for joining us. And I'm going to hang up and listen.